What a wonderful worship service. I shouldn't have stayed up as late as I was preparing with that singing and that scripture. You could just say amen and go home, but they're not ready yet with the luncheon, so we'll be here just a little while longer, if you will entertain me. Happy birthday, Patrick. It was in 1995. I went to a Promise Keeper event, and Howard Hendricks spoke to us for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And when he finished, he gave every man there a charge. And the charge was this: you are men of God. Give them something to believe in. That charge, it still stirs my soul. I was a new believer, and I was learning so much, I couldn't wait to share it. We have been given the truth of the eternal gospel. Just look at the titles of the songs in the bulletin. All the way down, it preaches a sermon. We've been given the good news that leads to everlasting life. And I stand before you today because of the love of Christ and of those who dared to believe the gospel is true, and they shared it with me. I would think most of us who have believed have encountered Christ and those who know him and trust the gospel. My sermon this morning is entitled Here and There, Finding Our Way. One of my main prayers this morning is that when I'm done talking, somehow that makes sense. Amen. If not, the grace of God. Another part of my prayer is that you may have noticed that there are four letters and some blank lines on the back of the sermon notes page. I also hope at the end of my talk that perhaps those are filled in some too, and that it would make sense. Last night, I was standing at the alarm panel for about 5 minutes. And I thought, Ryan's like on vacation. And I was like, I don't care. I'm waking him up. This thing won't work. And after 5 minutes, I realized I was putting my ATM PIN code into the alarm panel. Now, that's a valid PIN code, just not for the alarm panel. I could save a lot of money if I could confuse my ATM code with the alarm code. But sometimes we're that way. We're standing someplace and we don't have it quite right. We're not where we think we are. We're there instead of here, or here instead of there, if you will. And so this morning, I'm approaching all of us with the purpose of asking the question, where are we in the big story? The story that God is unfolding around us. It's a story. It's a story with a beginning, and it's a story with an ending. It's contained here in the Bible, the book that declares the glory of God and also reveals the redemptive plan for fallen humanity. If this platform were a timeline, the beginning would be there, right? I'm reading Hebrew. You're reading English and Greek, left to right. I'm reading Hebrew right to left. The beginning is there, and the end would be there. Agree? Say amen.
Amen.
Most amens I've ever gotten. Okay. And so on this timeline, I'm going to try to connect some dots. You've doubtless heard of the three trees in the Bible. Yes, right? Some people have heard of it. If you have not, I will illumine you, or attempt to, without too much confusion. There, in the beginning, there, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." The tree there in the beginning. Now we've got to go to the back of the book. There is another there. The tree. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life. There in the beginning, there in the end, two trees. And you know what comes next? One in the beginning, one in the end. There's one there in the middle. You've heard this. I know you've heard this. Let me find it in my Bible so I can share it with you. This is Peter talking to a room full of Gentiles. And we are sort of, I'm no Peter. I'm Bert from Sesame Street. But this is pretty much a room full of Gentiles. So, and we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. There, a tree in the beginning. There, a tree in the end, and there, a tree in the middle. You know, we know these things because, well, they're written in the scriptures, and the scriptures have been given by God to us, and we're a Bible church. I mean, come on. We read and we study our Bibles. Amen? Okay, I'm just checking with everybody here. We know there was a beginning. And we know that there is an end. And we know about the tree in the middle. And because of the tree in the middle, we in the here and now are finding our way home to heaven to be with Jesus. I got an email from a friend of Vladimir Pickman's who's helping with his ministry, Jewish guy and believer. And at the bottom of his email, it was some Hebrew words, but the English translation was, "In the end, it'll all be okay. If it's not okay now, it's not the end." That's a true statement as long as you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And if you are not, there may be a reason it's not okay. But a beginning and an end and a middle. And I think we all know this, that God was at work there in the beginning. And there in the beginning, what we would call the past. And that God, he's at work in what we would call the future, in time, there, time and space. We are gathered here, but there is an out there here and out there. Not just time past, time future, time present. Here and now. We have missionaries there and now. Are you following with me? My title sort of makes sense. But at least the here and there part. We're here now, there in the past, there in the future. Here in Dallas at RBC and out there, everybody else. We, I've got even a French affirmation. So, and there in the beginning, where all things that have already come to pass, you can check your Bible if you want. Chapter 1, God spoke. It starts out the whole Bible with, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, right? The earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, I looked that up in a lot of ways, well over 600 times, that there's either Elohim, Adonai, Yahweh, speaking, saying, telling. Did you know that God talks a lot in the Bible? It's true. Read it. You can find out. Around 740 BC, not quite there in the beginning, but still there in the past, Isaiah wrote these things, these words, so that we could take heart even today. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. 2.5 millennia ago, God speaking. And I believe most of you would agree with me that God has always spoken clearly, and he speaks for our good. But as you continue to open your Bible and read Genesis 1, 2, and by the time we hit Genesis 3, the ugly truth is that Adam and Eve, our very first parents, they've disobeyed God, and in their rebellion, they took what was a very good creation, and it fell. The fallen world, as Kent prayed, wars and rumors of war, shootings in Cincinnati, a terrorist attack in London. We don't have to look far to see the effects of the fall still linger all around us. It seems to us at times that the effects of the middle tree seem scarce, and yet God has declared his plans shall stand and they shall be accomplished. From Genesis 3, from that point in the big story until we get there in the end, it's all about God's intentional, active, and effective work to redeem us, fallen humanity. Amen. And he chose to do so through a promised Messiah. As Christians, at least I pray we know this, we know the Messiah is Jesus the Christ, God, the eternal Son, who died on the tree, the cross of Calvary, the death we deserve. He took for us on the tree. And you know, as Bible church people, there's nothing we can do to earn our own salvation. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which most of us have memorized by heart, is, for by grace you have been through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Jesus left the splendor of heaven. He paid a debt he didn't know because we couldn't pay the debt that we did owe. That is the good news, the gospel. Although we justly have earned God's wrath and a place in hell, condemnation for our sins, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, that is, trusts in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Patrick read a portion of Paul's explicit gospel this morning. I remember as a new Christian reading through the Bible, and when I read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for the first time, what I received, that Christ, I thought, holy cow, this is like the gospel. It's part of Paul's gospel. And matter of fact, he's telling them this in chapter 15 after telling them in chapter 3 the foundation that the gospel lays. God, who was working there, and God who is working there, and God who is working there, and by the way, there and there are past. The here and now for us is after the cross and towards there, the ending, the glorious ending of the great story. Where are we? We're between the second and the third tree in the here and in the now. That first portion that Patrick read this morning, some people distort it to say, oh, look, you can lose your salvation. No. We don't get salvation by works. But most of us know Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but we neglect 10. Am I right? You don't want to know what Ephesians 2, 10. I have to learn the ESV. I'm sorry. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God was working. God was working. Those are past. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works, which means that past there and past there, we are now working towards there. And the work that we do is built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus, the gospel, the eternal gospel, the Bible calls it. And all of our work will be tested as by fire. Now, even if you ruin it all, you're going to be saved, but as though by fire. But I say, if the God who worked there and the God who worked there could love me out of his grace, why not out of a requirement, but out of just a right response, say, great and glorious God who loves me, I will try to love you as clumsily as I can. Will you please, by the power of your Spirit, help me to be of some utility to other beggars who need to know about this feast as we head there. And the there is glorious. Maybe not the right now so much at times, but it's not the end yet. Give them something to believe in. I say the something to believe in is the good news. And because of the good news of the gospel, we have hope here in the now. looking forward to there in the end. With the things still yet to come in the future, it's a great and it's a certain hope revealed to us by God through the Apostle John. And if you were to turn to Revelation chapter 21, starting with verse 1, John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. From there to there to there, all who would come.'" What a glorious end awaits us. All who have trusted Christ, we justly deserve hell for our part, for our inheritance there in the beginning, and all of the sins from there to the here and now that we have contributed. Since the beginning, the reality of this everlasting life there in the end is only made possible by the tree in the middle. Now, I came to this church, trees were right where they needed to be. It's not a tree, it's a distraction. Keep your eyes on the cross. Last week, Stenerick, he ended by saying, "We who have trusted Christ," instead of saying, "The world behind me, the cross before me," two trees have passed. We're heading toward the end. The cross, it is behind us. And the world truly is before us. And we are well equipped. I agree with this statement. And we are well equipped with a cross at our back to face the world and bring the good news. That's how we find our way. Where are we? Here, now, aligning ourselves with a tree, aiming towards heaven. Hadas, the way. You know, that's like one of my favorite Greek terms. John 14, verse 6, Jesus, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen? We have come through him, we who are gathered here. And that is something to believe in. That is something we are to give to the world. It's wonderful. But what I'm about to share is unbelievable. The there to there with the there in the middle is believable. It's trustworthy and true. But what I'm going to share is not so much. It isn't pretty. George Barna came out with research just 4 or 5 days ago. Church attendance, way down. Professions of faith, all-time lows. Number of people call themselves Christians, plummeting. Participation in small groups dropped by half in less than a decade. Same numbers, maybe even worse, for adult Sunday school participation. Bible reading, less common than ever. Even the number of adults who profess to pray to God has decreased significantly. The question? Why? Answer according to the surveys? Christians are just not excited about their faith in and relationship with Jesus Christ to share the basics of that faith with non-believers. There to there to there. No excitement. Nothing to share. Let me share these startling numbers. Less than 25% of Christians believe that they are called to share the gospel. These are conservative Protestant numbers. The numbers are the same, less than 1 in 4, whether you're a man or a woman, and it doesn't matter how old you are. And that was really shocking to the surveyors. They thought older people would be more willing. But the reality is, we're all pretty much all in humanity together. There is not a living generation where more than 1 out of 4 feel a personal responsibility to share their faith with someone else. And it gets worse. 27% of theologically conservative Protestant pastors, I would like to say we're the A-team, but 27% of us don't feel responsible to share their faith in Christ. I want you to know we're not part of that 27%. And conservative pastors, however, who graduated from seminary, they're less likely to share the gospel and feel a personal responsibility to share it than someone who never went to seminary but is serving as a pastor. These things cannot stand. The overstatement of the obvious. Researchers found if people don't believe in evangelizing others, guess what? They just won't do it. If you don't believe it, you just won't do it. Only 23% of adults shared their faith once per month last year. Those who did share their faith were either A, not Christian, or B, were sharing a version of the Christian gospel that was not biblically grounded. So understand these numbers. Only 1 out of 10 were doing it, and only 2.3 out of every 100 people were giving the real gospel to somebody. Worse still, most surveyed said that the Bible was the reliable word of God. Yet they had these commonly held misconceptions. Let me read some for you. And again, conservative Protestants who were surveyed. People are basically good. Some faith is more important than the substance of that faith. God exists. He's omnipotent and omniscient. But humans evolved from other life forms. There is absolute moral truth, but it's located in various places. Eternal security is assured through the sacrificial death and resurrection of Christ, or by doing enough good deeds to earn God's favor. A person's life is successful if personal goals are accomplished. Jesus understands our struggles because he sinned while on earth. Sin is real, but Satan and the Holy Spirit are not. Conservative Protestant believers. Terrifying concepts coming from the A-team of Christianity. Perhaps we need to open and reread the Bible. Some no-brainer takeaways from these recent surveys. Less than 10% of Americans have a biblical worldview. Duh. Most non-Christians in the U.S. don't hear the gospel at all during a typical year. And when Christians do share the gospel, rare as that may be, it is all too often unbiblical. It's quite simply not the gospel. George Barna, and this is a quote, "You cannot give away what you do not possess." And clearly most Americans do not possess even a basic understanding of the Christian narrative, as well as the purpose and implications of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. The good news from the surveys? The researchers estimate there are perhaps 70,000 churches in the U.S. with biblically solid evangelistic pastors. And he says that a concentrated effort by those pastors at boldly, clearly, and consistently proclaiming the gospel could certainly be the basis of a spiritual rebound in America. Well, I feign to disagree in two ways. First, it's not up to 70,000 pastors. It's up to those pastors and the believers in their congregations. This is an us job. Together. Secondly, 70,000 churches? Do you know how many churches there are in Dallas? One. One church. From the day of Pentecost until that day of the Lord's coming for his raptured saints, through time and space, the church Catholic, the proper theological term, not big C Roman Catholic, little c Catholic, that means way more than universal. It's the whole church. You know, the last believer before the rapture and the very first believers from the day of Pentecost will be, we are all together. We are no better, no worse, no more, no less Christian than the first and the last believers. We are the church. Here and now, this is our time on the earth. Others have given it to us, and we will pass it to those who will follow us. One church. We have many meeting places, but there is one true church, and that church is the church that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, continues to build. We have things to do. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. And Redeemer Bible Church, our mission, glorify God, building up our members in love and reaching out to unbelievers to win them to Christ. What better way to love our neighbors than to introduce them to the one who first loved them, who went to the tree, from the tree to the tree, so that they can join us at that tree. I'm going long, sorry. In honor of Patrick's birthday, I give you Patrick's breastplate, written by St. Patrick. I wish I could do an Irish-Scottish accent. I can't. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in the eye, every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Redeemer Bible Church, may that be true of us. Here's the application. We're getting to the letters. Let us preach Christ and Christ crucified. That's our charge. That's our hope. That's wherein we stand. The truth there. Here's the letters. The G. Give. Give yourself to Christ. Trust him. He can get you to heaven. I don't care how bad you think you've been. You don't know how bad you are. And you have none of us have an idea of how wonderfully he loves us. Give yourself to Christ and then for the good of others. Give of your time, your talent, your treasure. Give joyfully, intentionally, consistently, even online now at RBC. Some ways to give you your time and your talents. Here and now. Garage sale volunteers, you can get a free lunch. AV team. And you know what? Can we give them a round of applause? And we have dedicated people week after week that go up there, and you can't see them because there's this bright light like Paul saw on the road to Damascus. But they're up there, and they are serving you and me, serving God. Security team, landscape. Extravaganza that's coming up. Maintenance of the church. We need greeters. We need children's ministry volunteers. We need people for VBS. We need prayer and care team people. You know, Kent should not be all alone. He should be with a crowd of people. Church on wheels. We need youth and adult volunteers. We need the church. to participate. Give of your time and your talents. I know you're saying, I've already done that. Or maybe you think there's already enough help in those areas. You are needed. Your testimony, it's not complete. God has you still here in the now for His glory and His story. Faithful obedience. Your presence is a blessing. I ask you, show up. And based on those stats, give some consideration to showing up on first hour for the ABF teaching. Some people in the world who call themselves Christians really need it. Some specific financial needs to make you aware of, and we'll post these on our website. We're seeking to get, this is above and beyond your normal tithes, give to our building improvement fund. On the back of your bulletin, there's this strange box that has some numbers and another goal. We have almost $12,000 of the $50,000 we need to raise to go to Hungary. And yes, we got a garage sale, but yes, we also need to give beyond what we would normally give. The gospel needs to go into the world, and that is on us. Are you building with wood, hay, stubble, or with gold, silver, and precious stones? Let's be the church. Also, Latsi Kadar, he's running an evangelism ministry now, not just doing the summer camp. They need a new vehicle. We have a member who has stepped up anonymously and said, I will match dollar for dollar for the first $1,000 that people want to give to this. So your dollar can be two if you want to help contribute to get Latsi and family a car as they travel in Hungary. Also, Latsi is going to be working on getting his doctorate in ministry degree at DTS starting this summer, and we'll send out information how you can contribute to that if you'd like to help him as well. And now, give. If we have your email, sometime this week you're going to be getting an invitation that will allow you to join for free Right Now Media. I think it's between 14,000 to 16,000 videos, movies, clips, everything from children to counseling, marriage, finance, youth, VeggieTales to, I don't know, give me a name. Tony Evans, yeah, he's there. That the World May Know, yeah, it's on there. Most of the things that we've got, you're going to have access on your cell phone, your iPad, your home computer, your TV, if we have your email. So flood us with the emails. We want to get it out. Sometime this week, you click on it's free. It's going to say Redeemer Bible Church. Free for you. God is a giving God. Every good gift comes from Him. Second, pray. Pray. Tonight, 6 p.m., Patrick said it. Find Diane Pettit or Patrick Boyd. Just show up. I don't know how to pray. Please. Pray continually, consistently, specifically, intentionally. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, if that helps you. Should you keep your eyes open or closed? Should you be sitting, standing, or kneeling? Fancy words or plain? Big things or small concerns? There's sure ways to corrupt your prayer life. I'm going to suggest two if you want to ruin your prayer life. Number one is, think that you can add value in and of yourself when you're talking to God. And the second way is to truly believe that somehow you can mess it up because you don't know what to say. You know, He's given us His Spirit so that when we don't know what to say, His Spirit groans for us in words we can't understand, but they're perfect. A practiced prayer life takes practice. God is not wearied by our prayers, whether they're polished or impoverished. He invites us to come. So let us come to Him. And we can do it corporately, Sunday mornings, Wednesday evenings, or anytime you like on your own. Tonight, 6 p.m. Third letter is send. Come alongside to serve and support the sending of missionaries and our fellow believers. How do you send? You use prayer, encouragement, material provisions, and financial support. Help us send missionaries. And the final letter is go. Go. Christ was incarnational. We must represent His incarnation. with a personal proclamation of the gospel, and we have to get it right. It needs to be accompanied by a life transformed by the Spirit in the name and authority of Christ. There's two ways to go: outreach and mission. Outreach is same culture. Mission is your crossing cultural. You can do both in Dallas. But we've got some things coming up here. If I could arrange a breakfast, a lunch, or an evening meal for 50 days from Easter until the day of Pentecost, in those 50 days, would you go to one? Because we've got that set up. Over 400 churches, from First Baptist to smaller ones, are coming together to pray, fellowship, eat a meal, and then if you're up to it, go out and share the gospel with three other people for 50 days beginning on Easter. We ask that everyone prayerfully consider going to one. At night, they don't go evangelize. So go at night and see if you don't go back the next day to evangelize. And then we're going to Hungary. Come to the meal. We need volunteers for the garage sale. We need people to go on that team. I've gone long. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we do come before you, the one who sees all things, and confess we have neglected our Christian duty. We do not bridge non-essential divides, and we fail to fully embrace our brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as those who are perishing outside our doors. We confess our failures. We have not followed your clear commands. We ask you by the power of your Spirit to help us to share the gospel and to make disciples. We ask that your Holy Spirit bring about a unity that causes the world to wonder. Change us into loving, humble, faithful, and obedient servants of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might truly and rightly worship and serve you, the only wise and eternal God of heaven and earth. May our focus be set on the Lord Jesus Christ in all our time and in all our space. May it be so, Lord. Amen.